pervasive is white supremacy? There's a lively debate underway as to whether it's a fringe element of American society or an organizing principle of our culture that has yet to be exercised. One thinker who's deeply engaged with this question is the Harvard historian Donald Yaakovone, whose new book, Teaching White Supremacy, examines the way racist thinking has permeated textbooks and other educational materials from the early days of the Republic up until the present. Here's Donald to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, I'm Donald Yaakovone, and the author of Teaching White Supremacy, America's Democratic Ordeal and the Forging of Our National Identity, which came out on September 27th of this year. I've spent my career studying the anti-slavery movement and the African-American role in the Civil War, and I have worked with Professor Henry Louis Gates, Jr., and I'm currently a permanent associate at the Hutchins Center for African and African-American Research. The following 5 points are some of the main themes of the book. Number one, understanding our current crisis. Far too many Americans, as the famed author and critic James Baldwin explained in The Fire Next Time, remain, as he said, trapped in a past which they do not understand, and until they understand it, they cannot be released from it. But I believe we have underestimated the challenge of releasing Americans from their past, because as Baldwin emphasized, the danger in the minds of most white Americans is the loss of their identity. This is the underlying issue confronting us today, the submerged tectonic plate that I believe is now cracking and perceived as being washed away by demographics and, quote, liberalism, unquote. It is, to many, a terrifying loss of the known universe, an attack, as Baldwin wrote, on one's sense of one's own reality. Number two, white identity has been fused to American identity. Responsibility for a consciousness of exclusion, an enduring identity of true Americans as only descendants of white Europeans, rests broadly and profoundly in our history. And only history can explain how and why. Principles of white supremacy predate creation of the American Republic and, ironically, helps shape the commitment to democratic republicanism and national identity that later emerged. As the legendary 17th century judge of the Salem witchcraft trials, Samuel Sewall, explained, African Americans still remain in our body politic as a kind of extravascent blood. That is, blood existing outside of society's regular veins and capillaries. Although an anti-slavery advocate, Sewall remained forever unnerved by the mere presence of Africans in New England, creating the fear that people like himself would not retain their cherished whiteness, as he wrote, after the resurrection. This understanding of African Americans as a people who exist outside of mainstream white consciousness and identity remains painfully with us. Number three, a Northern, not a Southern creation. Most Americans understand the persistence of racism as the legacy of Southern slavery, but the ideology of slavery is only a subset of the larger, more enduring, and specifically Northern ideology of white supremacy. From the earliest colonial days to the full blossoming of white supremacy in the 19th century, it has been Northern thinking that has propelled racial subordination, not just defenders of slavery and Southern resistance to the Civil Rights Movement. In every important field of thought and culture, in literature, religion, science, the law, and education, it has been Northerners, especially those from New England and New York, who have been most aggressively advanced the suppression of African Americans and created the ideology of white supremacy. Any hope for national unification today depends upon recognition of collective responsibility. Number four, the most dangerous tool with the greatest influence. History textbooks have been the prayer books of our national civil religion, engines of democracy and equality. By design, they contain our national aspirations, proud legacy, and professed ideals. But we have been selective in what we cherish in them and blind to what, in time, has proven disconcerting, if not shameful and humiliating. Textbooks acted as syringes, injecting cultural poison into the brains of generations of students, black and white. The very first page of one 1930 textbook shrieked, in capital letters, "The Story of the White Man." In 1939, the NAACP surveyed popular American history textbooks and revealed that textbooks drilled, that's their word, white supremacy into children's minds. One could see plainly, it said, how hate and disgust is motivated against the American Negro. Most textbooks, and certainly those appearing since the beginning of the 20th century, presented African Americans as a foreign, repellent element, an unwanted presence, a necessary evil, or a threat, and always, as one 1914 textbook asserted, quote, "a problem that it took many years to solve." And number five, what we have been teaching. Before the 1960s, school books presented the institution of slavery as the white man's burden, a responsibility to save the African from barbarism and despair. It appeared as a benevolent institution, little more than a series of picnics, barbecues, singing and dancing. Slaves rarely fretted over their lives and often felt, as one textbook wrote, deeply devoted to their master and his family. And in return, white children loved their mammies. Heaven to the Negro was a place of rest from all labor, the fitting reward of a servant who obeyed his master and loved the Lord. Such history, what one parent labeled curricular violence, has been pounded into the consciousness of generations of students around the country. Even when modern school books offer the actual history of the institution, teachers either avoid it due to lack of training or because of threats they will be fired if they do. As modern commentators have observed, despite a ghastly war fought over slavery, in over 150 years of concerted efforts by civil rights activists, the notion of America as white and Christian has stubbornly refused to dissipate. The soul of the nation remains white. How that happened is a story this book seeks to explain. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Donald. That was Donald Iacovone with five big ideas from Teaching White Supremacy, America's Democratic Ordeal and the Forging of Our National Identity. You might also be interested in our book bite for An Afro-Indigenous History of the United States by Kyle Mays. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.